for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back once again with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. A bit of a cobbled show this week, having been hit by COVID myself, but able to keep going, thankfully, with a bit of assistance by Mr. Dave Anderson, who joins me via the power of the internet. Welcome back, Dave.
Good evening, and I'm glad I'm 100 miles away from you in the condition that you're in. But, yeah.
Well, you see...
Fighting like a guy, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, I've... There'll be a few coughs throughout the show, I'm sure, and I might have to go have a lie down. Or maybe a beer. I don't know. Maybe the beer's the way forward when the paracetamol runs off. But it's been an interesting week. It's been difficult trying to keep up with things. But really only one big story this week, and we'll discuss that with our first guest. But football's really on a precipice at the moment at our level, I think, because when football below step two... It is likely to return. I mean, that's still an unknown, and we'll speak to our next guest, and he'll say about, you know, we don't know how much longer football at steps one and two is going to continue, or, you know, everything's unknown, and I accept that we're in a world of unknown at the moment, but after the great FA Cup magic that we celebrated in, you know, last week's show, and it would be nice to think that some of those in the upper echelons understood the plight of non-league.
Yeah, it would, and I'm concerned by it. Like, I thought it was all running swimmingly, and then we hear about the three options, and we'll speak to Ant about it. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's an easy job at the moment. I don't want to come across as the guy that's got all the answers, and I've been quite supportive in recent weeks of what they're doing and what they're trying to do. And then someone pulls the rug from under you and goes, well, actually, this is where we are. I says, well, that's not where we are. I was led to believe that there was grant money and there was loan money for people below. And now we're being told that, no, that's not, you know, it's Chinese whisper stuff. And hopefully, you know, Ant will be able to enlighten us a little bit better as to what's happening. But it's a massive concern, again, of you know, listen, I equate it to people that, you know, I look at the offside rule and the handball rule now and watched Premiership last night. And I can genuinely say I don't understand the offside rule. And I've been in football for 35, 40 years, playing it, coaching it and managing it and commentating on it. And I don't understand it. That shouldn't happen. Even to someone as thick as me, that shouldn't, you know, and so that tells me that the people who are changing the rules have never done any of what I've done. I don't think they've ever played it, managed it, or coached it, because they're making an easy game ultra complicated. And I just feel that that's on one hand. And then we look at the stuff now, the grant money and how the leagues are going to continue the elite class against the non-elite and that stuff. And now all of a sudden, from me thinking that everything's running smoothly, it's now a muddle again. And you sort of go, get some people in there who actually know what they're doing. You know, get some people in there who are clear cut in what they say. You know, the old saying is that, look, you only make a bad decision in hindsight, but make a decision. You know, tell us what it is. We all were led to believe it was one thing, and now we're being told it's another. So I am a little bit frustrated tonight, and a little bit more like the grumpy Dave Anderson that people have grown to love or hate. But I'm genuine in my anger.
Yeah, and we'll speak to you speak to Ant Smith and Concord Rangers in a moment, and we'll discuss how it's impacting at steps one and steps two. This looks like it's only going to be available as a loan. But then that does mean that at steps three and below, this money, again, is only going to be available as a loan. Almost certain, because they're the non-elite sport. So who at that level...
Who's going to take it?
It's a bit like saying, oh, you can help yourself to the chocolate out of the fridge, but actually it's all out of date. It's poisoned.
It's like you see the loan. You don't see them so much on the TV now, but the adverts a few years ago were like, "Yeah, borrow money anytime you want," but there's a 5,000% payback. You know, effectively, who in the right? Listen, someone said to me once. It might have been Billy Connolly had said that the fact that you want to be an MP should bar you from becoming one. Well, this falls in here. The fact that you want to borrow money under this should stop you from doing it. I just can't see how anybody in their right mind would take a loan for your football club in today's climate, in non-league being as volatile as we know it is with monies and clubs sort of struggling to keep their heads. Why? The fact that you're offering it as a loan tells me you don't understand what it is and who we are. The fact that they're saying, oh, we can have a loan. Really? Do you know what you're talking about with non-league? I don't get it. Or take the loan and clear off. Take the money and run.
Well, a majority of these clubs haven't had an income since March. And as you touched on there, many of them were struggling as it was before all this hit. So to then look to borrow some more money when you don't know, because even if you were, the world switched back on and we were allowed all the functions, you're not going to get your function room back up to the number of bookings that it was at this time last year anyway. So you're borrowing money when you don't know what your income's going to be anyway. So it's short-sighted.
This is I think if they offer, as a loan, yeah, you can borrow money on a loan. You don't have to pay it back. You don't have to start paying it back for 10 years. Or so I'm being stupid now, but I just don't. Well, I'm being stupid, but they started it. Let me leave it there.
Let's start off the week then with the National League. This week, a crunch meeting between clubs and league offered up three options for solving the funding crisis hanging over the current season. The £11 million allocated to steps one and two from the government's winter survival package will only be available in the form of loans, grants only in very exceptional circumstances. So the options are clubs take a loan direct from the fund, the league take a loan from the fund and allocate accordingly, or the season is suspended. Now, as we heard from Northern Premier League chairman Mark Harris last week, there are no easy decisions in non-league football. And to tell us how his club is having to face up to this current dilemma, I'm delighted to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show chairman at National League South Club, Concord Rangers, Ant Smith. Welcome back, Ant.
Hi, chaps. Nice to be back, don't you?
Well, it's nice to have you back, but not in these sort of circumstances. Now, We kicked off the season late in the National League. The first few months funded by the National Lottery Promotional Fund. But was the season only really started in the expectation that there would be fans allowed in or at least grant aid to see you through the season?
Yeah, I think 100%. The only reason the league got going was because of the package that came forward that eventually came from the lottery fund. And the expectation that we would have fans back in, whether it be a percentage or whatever the case, and that we'd be able to get some of our own revenue back.
And, I mean, it's often a debate that the fans get into, certainly, about the size of a club, depending on the number of fans that you're getting through the gate. And I know you've been able to boost your gate over recent seasons just by being successful with that. But it's not just the numbers through the turnstiles, is it, that the clubs are losing? It's everything else that comes with it.
Yeah, football aside, for us as a small club, our biggest loss is the fact that our two function rooms are out of use and have been since March. We literally have not had one function since last March, so that's a huge loss for a club of our size.
And realistically, I mean, before we get on to the fact that I think everyone thought that this was a grant stage for your level of football, and that the other, I think it was around about 14 million, was in discussion for the people below the level as to whether it was a grant or a loan. But it was never, unless I've missed, listen, I've just found out I don't understand the offside rule or the handball rule, so I probably don't understand this as well, but
There's a chance we may make you a referee still then, Dave. Yeah.
but we're right. And I know it's, we joke and it's in our dark humour, dressing humour. But this isn't a joke. We all got this right. This was a grant. We were led to believe this was a grant for people at your level.
Yeah, 100%, Dave. There was never, ever any other discussion than we were going to be supported for another 3 months if there was no return of fans and other revenue. In the meeting yesterday, and, you know, you've got to believe what you're being told, is that the league, the guys of the league and the FA also believed 100% that it was a grant.
I think the big thing that came from our chat last week with Mark Harris, Dave, was that football, you know, whatever decision is made by one league or two leagues or three leagues working, it's impacted by other leagues further up the chain. And football doesn't seem to be working together on this, does it? Because if you're saying that the league and the FA thought that that was how it was coming from the government, who's been in those meetings? Where's that information? You know, if I speak to Dave and then I speak to you, there's a good chance that something will just get altered, slight variation of the facts or understanding. And every time that's coming down a different level, that's where all this confusion comes from. And distrust, I think, that's where that comes from as well.
Yeah, but sorry, Andy, if I can just say, you know, if I'm talking to you and it gets mixed up, Tim, we're talking about, you know, a small thing. This is a massive, this isn't, I'm sorry, mate, I put two sugars in your tea when you only wanted one. This is massive. How can there be this sort of misunderstanding over something of this say? Sorry, Ant, but yeah, you know.
I'm of the belief that the meeting on the 17th of November, because that's when it was, that our league, the EFL, the Premier League, the FA and DCMS were all in that meeting. Now, that meeting must have been minuted. A meeting of that high level, you know, when I'm at work and I have a small board meeting, every minute is minuted. So there's no way it wasn't minuted. And that's where I've got to say, where's the minutes to that meeting? Why are our league not saying that there it is in writing, it was a grant?
Tim. Yep. You know, you've obviously had communication with the guys that on your league board, aren't? Because they must have informed you about this being released. Because we'd spoken to a couple of leagues last week on the show, and we all knew we were going to find out this week. So, what was it? A Zoom meeting? Was it an email? Was it how were you informed about that? This has been a misunderstanding.
I think the first real communication was late last week. When we just had a very small communication from Mark Ives to say that there'd been a U-turn and that DCMS was saying he's going to be in the form of loans. And then literally just got an email Monday to say Zoom meeting Wednesday, which we had yesterday. It was 45 minutes, Dave. That's all we had yesterday. They gave us those three options. There was maybe four or five clubs chucked a few questions in and then it was done. Basically asked us to send a response last night to the three options, which I take it clubs have done. I've seen, obviously, since that Slough Town have said that they don't want to continue playing, haven't said the same, although more for health and safety reasons, which I totally get. You know, my reason is based on that as well, is like I said in my letter, is we're classed as elite, but we're the only elite competition that is not regularly testing. And I just can't see how that can be right.
No, it can't be right. It's different sort of different standards within the same sort of question. But you said about, and I totally agree with you, that this meeting in November must have been minuted. Have you requested the minutes? Has that been brought up that you're allowed to? Surely as a member, you must be allowed to see the minutes. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's a bit like when you go and see your mum and dad for, you know, when you're kids and you want money for, no, you can't have it. Why? Because I said so. You know, we want a little bit more proof than because I said so with this, don't we?
Well, look, I'm taking their word on it. The fact in that meeting that Mark Ives, who obviously did work for the FA, he said that they were 100% of the belief that it was. So I've not asked for the minutes, no. It's maybe something that one of us needs to do is say, you know, are they in the public domain or can they be put in the public domain? Because, it, you know, it should be there. If they're 100% sure that that's what was said, then it should be there in writing.
Yeah, I don't mean, excuse me, I don't mean as a mistrust of what your league have told you, and understand you're taking it at face value. But what I'm saying is, this is a massive misunderstanding. Someone has to be, for want of a better description, held responsible for the misunderstanding. And to get to the bottom of that, surely the first place you look at is the minutes.
Yeah, without a doubt. I've already said it publicly. I think part of the reason that Mr. Tattersall has left the league is because he knew about this around Christmas time, along with what went on with the payments scheduled for October, November, December. That's another discussion.
see you next week.
I don't know if that one's been put to bed or not, because I suppose at the moment it's just more important what we're getting for January, February, March. But yeah, look, I do believe that part of Michael leaving the company was to do with this, because he knew it was coming.
And you say there, you know, this is the pressing issue, because it is the pressing issue, because the lottery money that we spoke about earlier was to cover until the end of December, and this set of winter payments from the government was supposed to cover January, February, March. As you say, we're at the end of January now. Your payment runs will be, you know, setting up next, I'm sure, Tuesday or Wednesday, your finance guys will be setting it all up, ready to get everybody paid for January. Where's that money supposed to have come from?
Yeah, 100%. A couple of the guys on the call yesterday actually said that, you know, I'm not going to say who they were, but they actually said, look, we've got payment runs next Friday, and we actually are in a position where we're going to struggle to meet those runs. I'm actually in a worse position, because I'm doing weekly. That's why I've already paid my guys for the last couple of weeks. it's a horrific
situation. What happens to that? What happens to that for you? That's just, so you've paid out expecting money in, and now all of a sudden it's not going to be in.
That is totally out of his, Dave, and that's why I've made the decision today to that someone's got to stand up and say, look, this needs to stop. We need to have a break. Challenge DCMS, get up as much, you know, a bit like the Let Fans In campaign, get as much up as possible to challenge it and get their attention and hopefully get it turned around. Because I do believe that with enough, you know, enough force behind us, we can go and get it changed. I really do.
And I think it's important. There's lots of opposition, you know, mainly from keyboard warriors, fans that haven't got the same insight as someone like yourself who's trying to run a club. But you're saying you're very resourceful. We know you're very resourceful, but you've got no other way of making money at the moment and bringing that money to cover those costs in. But there's the season suspension isn't the final option. It's an option that gives a number of multiple options on the back of it. That's to me, seems to be the sensible option.
Yeah, definitely, especially with COVID. You know, for me at the moment, I've just retweeted a tweet I did. I think it was on the 18th of December, where I said, we need a break. We need to stop. The numbers were going through the roof. There was clubs everywhere cancelling games and testing positive. And I said back then, that's 4 weeks ago, I said, we need to just have a break, take stock again in January. That's what should have happened. And even more so now, that was without this money issue. I didn't even know then about the money issue. So now with the money issue on top of that, it's the obvious thing to do. It's so obvious. We need to just stop, whether it's for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, take stock, speak to DCMS more, and go from there.
And just on it, when you finished, obviously you said your Zoom meeting, what's the procedure now that they're going away to look at what you've said, or where are we with it as to getting a final answer as to what's happening?
Yeah, so the procedure is obviously, as I said last night, we were to put our thoughts into the three options. Obviously, I haven't got a clue. If I was to guess, I don't think hardly anyone would take option one. I think there'd be some short-sighted people would maybe go with option two. And I believe the majority would say option three. That's my guess of it. And I've spoken to a few people, and you've seen a few people, you know, announce some stuff today. So that's, you know, you obviously see what I said to the league.
And just run us through the three options for listeners.
So option one is a loan direct from the government, basically, DCMS. Option two would be that the loan would go to the league and then the league will grant it to us, but we will then lose our money that we normally get from the league each year, or a large proportion of it. I can't. My workings out was, if I was to get what I think I'd get as a grant, what I would then lose, say, over roughly the next 10 years, I'd actually be $100,000 worse off by taking the grant now. So see what I'm saying? Who in their right mind is going to put their football club in that position? I'm certainly not. My club's, I'm very proud of the fact my club's debt-free. I run it very strictly. Yeah. The budgets, we don't go over budget, et cetera, et cetera. If other clubs are that short-sighted that they think it's a good idea to do that to finish the season, without, again, like you just said, having look at the other options, suspend it for a couple of weeks. Let's try and force DCMS into making it a grant, and then we can go again.
And the thing that we've been speaking about, a number of weeks, probably a number of months, really. People, because we're back in playing football, we all love the buzz of watching the football, getting involved, and no one's had time to actually look at a strategy or do the detailed look at it. Now, there may well be people at the FA that are doing this, but they're in a iron bunker somewhere, and that they've certainly not popped their head up and don't want to speak to us on it. But by suspending the season, then we could all have a look at it and we could all put some inputs in. But the fact that you had to get that back within, less than 24 hours, you didn't even have time to think about it. I mean, if I write an article, I'll write a bit, and then I'll go back to it maybe a day later because there's other ideas that have come to you. And we've got to think that this is the future of this is the long-term future of non-league football, not just the short-term that we want to try and get the season finished. This could be clubs disappearing.
Those replies have gone in last night, maybe a few this morning, and apparently they're going to be reviewed today and discussed in a board meeting in the morning, which, again, like you just said, how is that enough time for something so big to actually make a proper decision tomorrow?
It's sort of like it's like a quiz show.
Huh?
It's like a quiz show. Who won the war and da-da-da-da? It's panic. It's just, I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's not good. It's not good. It's how can it be in this position? There's intelligent people in the room, you would hope. You'd certainly hope that to deal with it. And the funny thing is the last sort of couple of shows I've done, one with our own show and I filled in for Keith McMahon on the other non-league show. Yeah. And I came away thinking, speaking to the guys who are on the level below, sort of talking about, that you guys were definitely getting your grant and that there was discussions about the 14 million, what it was going to be. And I came off both shows thinking, do you know what? That's good. It warmed my heart that it sounded organised. It sounded as if people understood what they were doing. And if you listen to both shows, I didn't have a lot of argument, because I don't think it should cause argument for the sake of it. But I genuinely thought, do you know what? That's as good as it can do. And then you get this. It's a bit like leaving the painter and decorator to finish the room and phone, is everything all right? Yeah, it's all finished. They have a brilliant job. You go, super. And then you go back and he's cleared off and it's crap. It's annoying.
And
that's someone who's out of it.
Yeah, Dave, you can probably tell with you, and I do react a bit quickly sometimes. I can be a little bit, but this has been going on now for a long, long time. We've started with all the rest of it. And over the last, to be honest, the last few weeks, I've been in that, like my tweet from a month ago, I've just thought, We need a break. People need to take stock. They need to look at what's happening around the world, And to be fair, the last few weeks, to be honest with you, is the only time I've actually seen people I knew or friends of friends actually die. Yeah. Over the last 9-10 months, I've actually not really known anyone. There's not been, but just recently I have. And I think that's had a change of my mind, to be honest with you. So, it's just, yeah, it's too much, too quick when you can just go, look, let's stop for a couple of weeks.
Breathe,
stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, for me, I'll just, but, and again, yesterday, and it always annoys me, they talk about the integrity of the league and their sponsors. And, you know, and I'm, you can imagine what I want to say to that.
Yeah. No, to be fair, I can. And the day you retire, you'll do well in this stuff, believe me.
Yeah.
But I think that, so you'll now get the board meeting will be tomorrow. When are we likely to find out the outcome of what is being recommended?
Well, they sent an email out after the meeting, obviously asking for, and then the email also said, it's been decided you will play Saturday and next midweek. So what they're trying to do is give themselves breathing space into next week. Well, yeah. like we said earlier, people have got their monthlies to pay next Friday, and they've actually stated that they haven't got the money. So, yeah, but it's not good.
As well as, you know, we're talking a lot about the money, but you've also, you know, touched on it. The one of your big concerns is the PCR tests, and the, you know, I mentioned the lateral flow tests last week, and I can, you know, from bitter experience, say that they're not very good. They're not fit for task. So we're looking, because we look at the number of the Premier League clubs that are losing games within hours of a kickoff, and they're in their own little bubbles. If you're a Premier League footballer, you're not going down to Tesco's to go and get your groceries, are you? So our lads at non-league, they're pros, you know. We've got a lot of full-timers, but others have got another job that they're going to. They're mixing with other people. So we don't know who's carrying the virus because lots of people are asymptomatic. But you can't afford £80 a time per person, per game, to get a game. And we're talking about this COVID-secure scenario that we have to create. Secure to me means that it's airtight. There's no risk. But actually, you're being forced to go into these games with an element of risk there.
As I said earlier, you know, we need to be bought up to this elite status if that's what we are, and that would include testing our players every week. You're right, what you just said. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure I've got guys who are playing football for me who probably go on construction sites where there could be 40, 50, 100 people. So, you know, it's not. It's the situation is not correct in regards to that. And, you know, I have, over the last few weeks, even our club physio, bless her, she's even said, you know, I'm not really happy now with this situation because we'd had a couple of positives. And obviously, don't blame her. Of course you don't. It's, you know, and the fact is, we'll have to go into our families.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, that's the thing for me, is that if you're elite, then you're elite. It's not like it's not like an aircraft where the Premier League take a left turn and go, you know, where you sit on the plane, Ant, and the others go where I sit on the plane, you know. It's you're either elite or you're not. And if the government and the FA are saying that the national and North and South are elite, effectively make sure they are. Get them tested. Supply the tests that are required. Otherwise, don't do it. Otherwise, you know, we're all sort of making big sacrifices, which I have no issue with, for the rest of our fellow man, if you like. And they're saying you're elite. Well, then make the sacrifice. Give you the product that makes it, that means that you absolutely know that when you play each other, that you're not transmitting the disease. Never mind points and loans and grants, you know.
Without that, that is what should happen, and hopefully that's something that will come out of all. Now, I want the season to end. I do want the season to end, but the only way it's going to end for me is for testing to be put in place and for this money to be grants, because otherwise, I know I'm in a better position than a lot of these other clubs than I am. There's a lot of clubs that are in, I can imagine, quite a precarious position right now.
Yeah, and what about? Sorry, Tim, I was just going to go away from it a wee bit and ask about the everyday running of a football club in normal times. you know, you've sort of stretched a piece of elastic to the moon with your club, if you don't mind me saying. But I'll tell you, I must tell you this, cut it out if you want, Tim, but this is absolutely true. My mother-in-law has been sort of clearing out, and she found a load of old non-league papers. She would collect all the stuff and keep it for me and make scrapbooks and all that stuff for the kids. And I got a pile of non-league papers 3 days ago. I don't know, 20 papers or something like that. And I was just flicking through them to see why she'd kept them. I worked out that I was at Harrow and she'd kept them when we won. So I must have had 20 wins in 3 years because that's the only, but one of them I was flicking through was Concord versus Harrow. And we won 2-1 at Concord, and man of the match, Nicky Cowley. And there was a bit at the front of the paper about Danny and Nick and what they were doing. And I just smiled. And then Tim had said you were coming on the show. So, you know, there's things to look back. So, but you know, from that to this, you know, the way you've sort of looked after your club has been excellent. But talk us through a little bit of the differences of running it in today's climate.
I think for me personally, it's that I've obviously had to become the COVID officer because they expected most of the CEOs or chairman to take that role. So there's been a lot of behind the scenes. Luckily, I'm in a business, being in asbestos, I'm used to, you know, having to deal with those sort of situations. So I've got staff who have helped me a lot in putting all our bits and pieces in place, et cetera, et cetera. Our secretary, Lewis, has been brilliant as well. For the club itself, it's been shut, Dave. You know, it's shut. My poor, you know, Jane, Jane runs the club.
Yeah.
You know, she's been on furlough. We didn't have had her on part furlough, and she's been painting the clubhouse. You know, it's the club is literally, you know, it's not, the only time anyone's been in there is for obviously the odd home game. And I think we had one game with fans, literally got one game in. We was really unlucky that week. We had two away and one at home. So we had one game with fans. So yeah, it's been a lot different. And my job has been more about paperwork and worrying that we've got stuff in place. And when we have now had some positives, there's been obviously a lot of paperwork to do then. And again, Lewis has been really good with that. But so it's not the same because I'm not seeing anyone, am I? You know, I tend to stay away as well. You know, I don't, whereas before I probably mixed quite a bit with the squad. I'm staying away as much as I can, really. And so are the other committee members, because you just want the bubble to be as small as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about, you know, just on finance, you don't have to go into how much, but financially, to try and keep it afloat even must be just a nightmare.
Yeah, well, obviously, if we hadn't got the funding, we just wouldn't have been out of play. It's as simple as that. And that'd be the same for, like, I hear clubs like Notts County saying they don't need the funding, they can carry on, whatever. But yeah, good luck to, you know, those clubs. If we didn't get that money, we would have had to stop. So simple, you know, simple as that. Or I'd have to put my hand in my pocket, which it'd just be daft to do that. You know, it's the same as right now. You know, I am quite well off, but I'm not, and you know, I won't just throw money away for the sake of it. I've always had a strict budget, and I believe that a team can do well with a certain amount of money, or a manager can do well with a certain amount of money, which, you know, I've proved that over the years with the managers I've had. Without the funding, without that, I wouldn't have allowed the club to go under. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, is I'm protecting Concord Rangers Football Club and the people like Albert and the people that, you know, made that club. I'm not going to let it go under, you know, because of, you know, people dictating to me that I'm going to play football.
Yeah.
And I had one question about the meeting and about, you know, how this... this vote or survey or whatever they want to call it. We've got lots of different names for things at the moment, but is a decision going to be across the National League, or is it going to be the National League as a Premier League will go some differently from step two, or would all three divisions choose a different route? Because this is the part of that thing that we spoke with Mark Harris last week, where every decision has a knock on to someone else. So, say if the National League at step one said, no, actually, we want to suspend the season, but you guys at step two suddenly said, no, we want to carry on. Well, you can't, can you? Because you don't know why are you playing on if step one might not finish?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And it was actually, it was not tongue-in-cheek, but it was said in the meeting yesterday, it was actually said, oh, there could be that the National League could carry on and we suspend North and South, which that didn't surprise me at all, because obviously the National League's always, you know, always forefront of everyone's minds. And then, to be fair, Mark Dawkin actually cut in and he said, hold on a minute. I thought, as you said at the start of the meeting, we're all in it together. And we're, you know, so you can't now start differentiating that that one could run and they won't. Or, so, yeah, it was actually said. It weren't an option, but it was said. And like I say, Mark did actually cut in and say, hold on, you know, that's not what was, you know, what this meeting is meant to be about. We're meant to be all, you know, all as one.
So we'll wait and see how that one pans out then. One other thing, you know, your 2020 should have been the best year as chairman at the football club. And that one's still hanging over as well, is it? I mean, we're talking about finance here, you know, whether it's a grant or a loan or how it comes out for the next 3 months. But if this season is to finish, this season's going to finish end of May, maybe June, because of cancellations and everything else that's going on. And then we've still got Wembley finals from last season to play.
Yeah, to be fair, the FA do, you know, we get the odd update from them, and all they ever say is we 100% want to get it done. Who knows? You know, yeah, you're right. For us, it's so disappointing, obviously, that hasn't got done. You know, we was over the moon to get the semi-final done and actually to make the final. It's hard at the moment because with all that's going on, is it that important? As a football thing, of course it is.
I get that, and I don't think you need to defend that. And you know, I just feel, you know, it's a chance in a lifetime. We've been doing it a long, long time, put an awful lot of stuff into it. I was fortunate enough to do it myself a year and a half ago. And I've said many times that as much as it's funny and a bit of a banter that I'm still holder, I'd give it away in a heartbeat, because you deserve to have that day. And yours isn't a bigger competition, but you deserve. And when is that ever going to come up again? You know, that's like a one in a once in a lifetime opportunity. And it's just, but I don't know what the answer is. You know, to be fair to the FA and everyone, I don't know what the answer is. I just feel your pain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, there's four of us in that boat. For myself, as you know yourself, for us, it's never going to happen again. It ain't going to happen again. So, we will still get that chance. We'll get, you know, Dan will still lead the boys out, and we'll enjoy a day there. Let's say it happens in May, look, I'm wishing upon a star that 10,000 people can walk in Wembley by the end of May or something, and it can get done. But like I say, hopefully it will. And I've got to believe the FA, they do want to try and get it done. And being honest, it's just the monetary reason that it's not being done.
And someone's come up with people would laugh at this, but I would say, I think people would take that rather than nothing. But, and I'm not saying they would do it back-to-back, but to the degree where, you know, listen, if you play the final and you get the cup for 20 minutes, you'd accept that and nearly hand it to the next guy who plays tomorrow, as long as you get your day in the sun.
Yeah. Look, if they want to make another fake one, I don't mind taking that one.
Yeah, there's going to have to be something along those lines where it's going to be like...
There's probably a good chance that as long as someone don't get in it twice, they could get it. No, we can't. Yeah, so there's a good chance it could happen Saturday, Sunday, couldn't it?
Yeah.
There could be two non-league days, Saturday, Sunday. I don't think they'd be able to cram all four games into one day. It's too...
No. Probably, no. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, look, like I said, let's hope some point, end of May, maybe even beginning of June, there could be two non-league days and that the clubs all get to have their day.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things against that that's been put out has been that Wembley is supposed to be in use for the Euros, but it looks like the Euros may well be elsewhere rather than England in the summer. So maybe that's opening up some doors for you. And, you know, there's a little glimmer of sunshine somewhere. But as we started, there's so many decisions to be made. And I fully agree with you, Ant. I think people just need to sort of stop, take a step back and just survey what's in front of us and see if we can make the best decisions. But it's always...
But I think you have to be careful of that because that sort of screams of common sense. And
the funny thing with it, Dave, is I'm normally the one who's gung ho. And I'm actually saying to everyone, whoa, we need to slow down.
Yeah, it's an age thing, you know. You're like me, you've changed.
Well, I did turn 50 in November, so maybe that's what it was.
God bless you.
Well, I'm going to have to think of a new podcast for you two now to stick you in I don't know, maybe an old folks home or something. You just sat around a TV. But
old man behaving badly, you know. But no, I do think it screams of common sense, and I would hope that some people would open their ears to it, you know.
Yeah, there's people there. You know, Jack Pearce, Jack's on that committee. And I love Jack. Jack's always straight down the line. He does listen. He gives. And you just think someone like Jack will go, you know what? We need to listen. We need to have a little break. And hopefully that will happen.
Well,
otherwise I'll be looking at another big fine.
It's all right. Maybe you can draw down from the league to get it paid. Yeah.
I owe you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and always good to get you on the non-league show, and thank you for sharing your comments and thoughts, and hopefully we'll get some common sense and a brighter future for non-league in the coming days.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, chaps, and good
to speak to you. Great to speak to you, Chairman. It's been too long.
Take care, mate.
So last week we helped launch this season's FA Cup Team Awards with FA Cup Fact File. So this week it is our pleasure to welcome back Phil Annette to the Non-League Football Show to announce the winners of this year's Factors. Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's always good to have you back on. I mean, it wouldn't be the Non-League Football Show without you. So we went through the four categories last week and how people could vote. People have got lots of things on their mind at the moment, but I think it was quite a decent vote out there by the public.
Yeah, it was indeed. I was very grateful to see that we had thousands of people get involved, and I really do thank them all for taking time out to do so. It shows you that they've got a high interest in wanting to show how much they support non-league football and the clubs who've done well in the FA Cup. So that's been really good, and obviously the public vote is 50% of the overall vote, and the other half is done by panelists such as yourself and Dave Anderson and Caroline Barker.
I'm pleased you said panelists and not experts.
Well, I've got to use my words carefully. And of course, those two sets of votes come together to get the overall voting and to determine the winners for each of the four categories. And I would say in three of the four categories, we were aligned, and in one of them, there was a slight disagreement, which one group has dominated versus the other to determine the winner.
Intrigue.
Yeah. I can go through the four awards and announce the winners in each.
I'm feeling now, I wish I'd had my drum roll ready. Let me see, what have I got? No, that's not really a drum roll, is it? Well, there you go.
Magic of the FA Cup. So I'll go in reverse order of the actual award. So the special team award factor, which is the award to recognise teams doing something slightly different or over and above to help with the FA Cup run. The nominees, just to go through those, they were Hanley Town, Marine, Mask United and Skelmersdale United. And for this award, we were aligned between the public and the panel votes. But there was a very clear winner, and it won't surprise anyone to learn it was Moline FC for selling 30,000 plus virtual tickets for their third round tie against Tottenham Hotspur. So an absolutely fantastic achievement, and congratulations to Moline to win that award, the first one, the special team award factor.
Well, I at this rate, though, Phil, you may struggle to get to present this factor simply because there'll be too many people in the ground.
Well, that's right. There'll be far too many. I can't get through them all, can't through the halls to get to present the awards. But we'll find a way. We'll find a way. So well done to Moline on that award. They're also up for the surprise of the FA Cup factor. This is a category which identifies those clubs that maybe have achieved above and beyond what people might have expected from the start of the season. So we had Christchurch as one of the nominees, Cray Valley Paper Mills, Moline, and Skelmersdale United were the four nominees. And this was the category where there was a slight difference of opinion between the public vote and the panellist vote. So it ended up as a very, very tight result, but the winners for the surprise of the FA Cup factor are once again Moline FC. So for winning through a total of seven rounds to reach the third round proper, even the winners will play that many games. So a fantastic achievement for Moline to go from the preliminary round all the way through to the third round. And they've won the second of the first two factor awards. So well done to them.
And I know Neil Young was disappointed in the end as the way they bowed out, but you know, but SWAT messages again with him suggest that it showed how the quality was at Moline, both on and off the field, that the Spurs team that went up there and the way that they played was so professional. But I think, you know, two awards already in the bag. I don't remember, there was plenty of media coverage, but I don't remember seeing the Moline trophy cabinet during all the coverage. So maybe they might need to build a new one on the back of all those virtual tickets that they sold.
Yeah, they might do. They've got two awards already, not for two more, so you never know whether they might get the clean sweep. So if we move on to the performance of the FA Cup factor, this award is designed to recognise an individual performance in one match of the competition rather than the overall competition. And so we had four great nominees who had fantastic one match, or even more than one match, but the matches that we identified. So we had Alfold, Chorley, Moline again, of course, and Sheppey United. Once again, we were aligned between the public vote and the panel vote. Very, very tight vote, but in the end, the performance of the FA Cup factor goes to Chorley FC for their wonderful comeback victory, their 2-1 win at high-flying EFL one-side Peterborough United in the second round. And of course, Chorley still going, the last non-league club still standing in the FA Cup, into the fourth round, setting records all over the place. They win again, there'd be even more FA Cup records they could set, but they've now won the 2021 performance of the FA Cup factor as well.
Again, I'm sure they'll be very pleased to know. And it was just, we talk about, you know, the Hereford results of the past or the big, you know, Sutton United being Coventry. But I think this is one of those that's going to go down in history because of the, how well Peterborough were doing at the time that they faced Chorley.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they'd already beaten Wigan in the previous round, and that went down very well and would, on its own, maybe would have won the award. But yeah, to go ahead and beat Peterborough United, who are likely to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, challenging for promotion, especially after going behind so early, it was a fantastic result. And then they've beaten a Derby County side in the third round, and now have the chance to take on Wolverhampton Wanderers, where they've already got history of beating them in the competition in the past. So if they did do that, then they would definitely cement their place in FA Cup folklore.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that the last remaining non-league club left in it, but kicking off the fourth round says so much about the importance of non-league and the clubs that are still in it.
Yeah, it's the biggest, I guess, romantic tie of the round. And you know, not many clubs get from non-league will defeat first division or top flight clubs, Premier League clubs. So they could get themselves into a very unique club of teams that have done that. And obviously, Wolves will be keen not to be on the wrong end of an upset. But you never know, do you? And it could be an outstanding evening for them.
Yeah. So one award left then, Phil. Do I need? I'll.
Yeah, special drum roll for this one.
There we go.
So we have the big award, the Team of the FA Cup Award, which recognises a non-league club that has had the best overall performance across the whole of the competition. We had four very worthy nominees, all of which, if they'd have won, they'd have been worthy winners. We got Boreham and Wood, made the third round for the first time ever in their history. Chorley, who have now made the fourth round for the first time ever in their history. Marine, who were only the second club to come from level 8 of the pyramid to make the third round, and their first one to face Premier League opposition. And Skelmersdale United, who went all the way from the extra Premier round to the first round proper. So the Team of the FA Cup Factor Award goes to Marine FC. Fantastic. They were very clear winners. Both the public and the panellists saw that achievement this season in the FA Cup was worthy of note. And they are awarded the Team of the FA Cup for being only the second ever club from level 8 to make the third round. And they are now also the only the second team ever to win three Factor Awards in one season, with Hereford being the only other club to have done so 3 years ago.
Well, I can see a whole new range of memorabilia coming in the Marine shop, featuring all these facts and stats and a little quote on the bottom there from Mr. Phil Annette. Phil, of course, you've already mentioned the fourth round and Chorley participating this coming weekend, but there's plenty of other ties. There was always a non-league connection, either with fans or with the players or managers or maybe your club has played against this pro club that is in there. Once again, you've done a fantastic tie-by-tie preview of the fourth round. And anything that we should remembering we're not going to be in the pub trying to impress our friends anymore. There may be some fourth round FA Cup Zoom calls, but you're probably going to be at home trying to impress the family and trying to win them over into FA Cup magic. What's the sort of stats that we can wow them with, Phil?
I'll give you a couple of stats, obviously not non-league related, but definitely FA Cup related. The most common tie of the round is Everton versus Sheffield Wednesday, who have played each other 19 times in total in the FA Cup in the past. Everton have a 9-5 ratio, and obviously they've beaten each other in cup finals in the past. So a big pedigree there between those two clubs. And then obviously the one that everyone's regarding worldwide as the big tie of the round, Manchester United versus Liverpool, two teams that have played each other quite often in the competition, with Man United twice beating Liverpool in cup finals. But Liverpool have only ever won once at Old Trafford in the FA Cup in all the 17 or 18 times they've played each other. And that was 100 years ago. So in 2021 season. So could they replicate that 100 years later? Who knows? But there you go. So there's your stats on the Man United Liverpool game.
Well, that's the sort of stuff that we're going to miss now for the rest of the season, Phil. We'll have to make sure that people are following you on Twitter. So where can they read the full details and follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow me on at FA Cup Fat File on Twitter, and you can see all of the stats around the fourth round at my FA Cup Fat File WordPress.com blog site. So do go there and share with your friends.
Well, thank you for joining us once again, the Non-League Football Show, Phil. Congratulations to the winners of the Factors, and thanks again to everybody that helped make the competition and the Factor Awards a thing that people need to embrace a lot more and celebrate the magic of the FA Cup.
Indeed, and the contributions that non-league clubs make to the competition should be spread out there far and wide.
So let's round up the show and the rest of the week's non-league news. It's back over to Non-League Paper Towers, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always always an important part of the show as well. And we've spoken to Phil Annette earlier on the show about the FA Cup, but surely the last non-league representatives in this weekend's FA Cup, and I'm sure there'll be plenty to read about them in the non-league paper following the event this weekend.
Absolutely. I'm heading back up to Chorley for my second visit after seeing their win over that young Derby side about a couple of weeks ago, and it's really an attractive tie for them, really. It's obviously on BT Sport tomorrow night, at home to Wolves, the Premier League side. Of course, you know, it's not the Premier League side perhaps they would have handpicked, or even maybe having it at their grounds when there's the likes of Anfield and Liverpool and Manchester United on Old Trafford to visit. But nonetheless, I think, you know, not the best draw, but certainly not the worst either. And they'll absolutely relish that game tomorrow night, and rightly so. They deserve to be there. They've had a great run getting past Wigan and Peterborough and Derby. And, you know, hearing Jamie Vermiglio speak yesterday in his press conference, you can tell there's still that real excitement around that tie, even though the circumstances these days are very much different to a normal year. You know, it's really going to be a night for them to remember tomorrow or tonight even. And we look forward to seeing how they get on. You never really know whether, you know, Wolves might put out a younger side, or perhaps a less inexperienced side, and Chorley might have a way of somehow getting into the later stages of the competition.
And of course, I'm sure that Adele will be watching, hoping that the streams of her songs will be going up on the various digital musical platforms. But also, I mean, this week there's limited football. There's no mistaking that. But we've had some FA Trophy action. We've still got majority of fixtures going on in the National League, but FA Trophy still continuing and taking further steps towards maybe a Wembley final.
Yeah, that's right. We've just had the fourth round ties all played last weekend, and some on Tuesday night as well that were postponed from then. Great day for Peterborough Sports at Bath City last Saturday, winning 1-0 there. The rise have been under Jimmy Dean over the last four or five seasons has been amazing, coming up from step six, and now they're making more history, reaching the fifth round of the trophy, the furthest the club has ever gone in the competition. Also another great day for Hornchurch and their manager Mark Stimpson, obviously a very much a FA Trophy legend. They beat Kings in Town, National League side, 3-0 on penalties. And yeah, that's great to see them going deeper into the competition and how they would like to progress further. But like you say, things perhaps now are a little bit up in the air with the current debate over whether the National League should continue playing. Obviously, the FA Trophy falls into that elite category, so teams in step three and below have been able to continue playing. Whether that situation may change should National League and North and South come to a halt, we'll have to see. But I'm, you know, I think for those clubs like Peterborough Sports, having spoken to Jimmy Dean this week, you know, very much for them, they're sort of desperate to try and get through each round, because it simply means they've got another game to play.
Yeah, well, exactly. A club like that, that this is their only football that they're allowed to continue with, and they're actually only allowed to continue football while they're still in this competition. Spoke with Ant Smith about the where the National League, where this latest decision is, how it's going to unfold, and what we don't want to see is a split between step one and step two. And maybe a suspension at one of those and a continuation at another level, because then that further fragments and causes difficulties with the FA Trophy as an elite competition, because we're going to have more clubs playing in the FA Trophy that it's their only competition they're allowed to play in than clubs that are, because of the National League will take preference for the majority of National League sides. It just makes a mockery of the competition. If there needs to be a longer term plan or someone with a better vision just to make these decisions?
Yeah, it's certainly become a very confusing picture this week. Like you say, we're sort of in the National League in North and South. You know, the league hasn't ruled out that whether there's a suspension in the leagues, you know, it might just be at step two and not step one. Like you say, that has an impact on promotion and relegation. It's already been said about how if step three doesn't continue and is made null and void, that would again mean that there's no relegation from step two like there was last season. So all of a sudden, sort of things stagnate quite a lot. And like you say, also if National North and South aren't playing games, yeah, where does that move the FA Trophy and competition like that? We're still waiting for last season's final to be played. So yeah, the delays are continuing, but I think probably in the next sort of 24 hours or so, and after the National League meet today on Friday, we might have perhaps a clearer view of the path clubs want to take. But yeah, certainly there's also not a lot of time really for these decisions to happen. You know, clubs have players and staff to pay next week on their usual monthly payrolls. So yeah, it all needs to come together quite quickly really. And again, we're in a little bit of a waiting game.
And I love your optimism, but because non-league in recent years, or well, historically, has never been one to make decisions quickly in the hopefully, as you say, this time next week we'll have plenty to talk about, and we'll know a bit more as to where the seasons are heading. But the fact that we love non-league football, there's always plenty to discuss, so we can have this show every week and we can have your paper every week. So you'll be out again this weekend with plenty to read. What else can we expect to see in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, so we'll have all of the talking points from this week about that National League decision and the options that clubs have and what clubs are thinking. Like I say, obviously that National League meeting may change things. I don't think it will be a case that the National League come out and say, you know, we're going with option one or option two or three, you know, this week. So again, we're probably sort of more looking ahead to what might be, and it could well be that situation is a vote that clubs then have on a certain question that the National League might come up with, you know, similar to how they decided what to do with last season and the points per game method, and then deciding on whether to play the playoffs. So that could well happen again. So we'll have all of the reactions and talking points from that in Sunday's paper. Obviously the main talking points at the moment are higher up in the pyramid, but again, you know, we're still waiting on the step three and four outcome. Clubs have been returning their surveys to the FA. So that is to come as well. So we'll be hearing a little bit more on that situation, and also the situation over their own £14 million worth of funding for those levels. On a perhaps lighter note, I spoke to Golkar United and their manager, Joe Ashley and Gavin Connor, who are brothers at the club at the Step 6 North West Counties League side. A really interesting club. They only recently came up from the West Riding Amateur League and are now, of course, semi-professional in the non-league system. And then they have the ambition of climbing the pyramid. It's sort of nice to hear about these clubs who, you know, want to try and push on. You know, Golkar's by no means a new club, founded in 1904. They've been around for a while, but now they're looking to progress onwards. And speaking to Ashley and Gavin, they were really keen to help the club do that. So that was sort of a nice little break away from the debates and the funding sagas, etc., of higher up the pyramid. So I think there's, as usual, there's always something in there for everyone, really. We've got another nice column from Steve Hill. You know, diehard Chester fans, so it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts on what he he thinks should happen. And there's plenty more in there. So I appreciate it. At the moment, it's obviously difficult for people who are inside or even sheltering from the freezing cold weather or rain as well. But we always appreciate the support from our readers. And yeah, we'd appreciate that again on Sunday if people can somehow pick up their paper, which you can get to the sea or in your local news agents, petrol station floors, etc. So yeah, we're really grateful for everyone who picks up a copy.
Yeah, I always the first place I look when I go into a petrol station, I always have to make sure to see. It's a bit like being an author when you see your own book and you bring it to the front. I always make sure that it just piles up on top of others. But often, of course, there's not many left because people have already nabbed their copy. Do make sure that you pick up your copy of the Non-League paper on Sunday. David, thanks for joining us once again. Stay safe and speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests and for everybody for listening, wherever you may be. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anson's at DaveAnson78, myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there too for the Non-League Gaffer Tapes if you've not listened to the previous episodes, and we are working on bringing those back in a virtual way very soon. Stay alert, stay safe, thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.